Welcome to, or welcome back to, Total Spot Fest. Very special episode we have for you today, because you see, we're coming back with another interview. We have yet another member of the Journey Pro ownership group, Chris Mowry, that we want to welcome to the Total Spot Fest universe. So, Chris, welcome. Hello. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
We are more than pleased to have you here. And, you know, after this past weekend, because this past Friday was, it's not really a return show. There was a pause is all that there really was for some organizational things, some health matters. But, you know, the return to Blip, we'll put it that way. So our return to Blip Roasters this past Friday, which Jamie and I want to get all in with you here. But thank you for giving some of your time. So if you have not watched our previous interview with DJ and you're not in the know, get in the know, I guess, and meet Chris.
Yes.
So Chris is the new owner here. So, yeah, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know that we got, like, the nickel version from DJ when we last talked to him. But why don't you go and tell us about yourself? Because you have a history in events, and I think it's going to be very interesting. I know Jamie's, like, specifically very interested in kind of your backstory history and how it's going to pertain to the future of Journey Pro.
Yeah, so I... let's see how far back to go here. Okay. So when I was 15 years old, I booked my first concert ever.
Wow.
It was at the Hurricane.
Oh yeah.
And it was a touring act and a bunch of like local bands. And this is when I was listening to Pure Volume in MySpace a lot. So you can imagine what type of electronic pop punky garbage I was shilling.
There's nothing wrong with some pop punk. All right, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I learned in the business really quick that things don't go as you plan them, because I was on my way home from a trip to St. Louis, and I got a call or a text from one of the band members of the touring band saying, hey, we're not going to make it to the show, we're getting signed in LA. I was like,
oh,
okay. And basically pretty good excuse. Yeah. I still did the show. I made $125 cause the bands didn't want to get paid. And I was like, whoa, sweet gig. and so for a while there, I was just doing booking, a lot of pop punk and emo-y type things. This was the time period. I was a Warped Tour kid. So I'd book stuff at like Main Street Cafe and places like that. If anybody remembers that old chestnut. Then I kind of left doing music for a while. I tried to do construction and a bunch of other stuff that made me very unhappy. And then end up getting drawn back to it, worked a security job, for events to get sort of back into that world and like meet people. So I did a lot of stuff at like Power and Light and Sporting Kansas City. Did like on-field security and stuff for them for a long time. A lot of ticket taking at Memorial Hall and things like that. Really boring. I guess we did the Mavericks too out there at Independence Event Center. That is now Silverstein Eye Center's arena.
It's Cable Dahmer Arena.
Cable Dahmer. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. It's third right. Iteration. Yeah.
Yes. I did a lot of stuff like that. All the while I was like working with bands. I like managed bands and booked bands for a while, like exclusively managed a couple bands. Probably nothing that anybody's heard, but they were like relatively well received in Kansas City.
Okay.
Made a lot of connections doing that stuff. And then basically 6-ish years ago, I was still working that kind of shitty security job that really wasn't getting me anywhere. This band I was working with at the time, Pink Royal, was doing pretty well. We were like opening up the main stage at like Middle of the Map Fest and things like that. So we were doing pretty good. Okay. I saw that Record Bar was closing, and we did the second to last show at the old Record Bar. It was Not a Planet, Pink Royal, and the Yotes. And like it was like the last time I was going to be there, and I was like super emotional about it. Because I'd seen so many shows there. And like we get to the venue and there's like a line around the block.
Oh yeah. I remember, and it, remember that was going on. Yeah.
Like the last week was just nuts. Like normal circumstances, we're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be that crazy. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so that was my last night there. But then that whole, basically ever since that time, I was basically like bugging Steve Tulipana about working for him. And be like, whatever you guys do next, I want to help. Like, let me help. And when they opened up the new place, or actually when they were moving out of the old place, I helped them move all their stuff out of there. And then when they got to when they got the new place, I started as a door guy there. And I was a door guy there for a month and a half, and then I was promoted to production manager, and did that for 5+ years. It'd have been 6 years in May if I would have stayed through May.
Right.
And then something crazy kind of happened while I was still at Record Bar. I started getting back into pro wrestling. Let's tie it all together.
There we go.
Right?
Nice. Nice.
So I started, are you guys familiar with What Culture?
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah. The YouTube channel?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So like I would just like be like hanging out and watching YouTube or whatever, and like their videos would come up of like the 10 best blah blah blahs of professional wrestling and things like that. I was like, oh, that's fun. These are fun videos. And then I kind of started getting into their other videos. I just like subscribed to their channel, and it would be like the highlights of the ups and downs, right, of what's going on.
Right.
And that started getting me kind of back in. And this was at the time before I had some cable, but I don't think I had TNT at the time. So this was, I believe, when Cody and Jericho were feuding. So I was kind of like seeing what was going on, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And everybody seems to be loving this, right? Everybody seems loving AEW. And I was like following along with kind of the main story, the beats of WWE. And
that's
then
familiar. Everybody, you know, if you're getting back into wrestling, where do you go? You go to the old bag that you always went to for the past 30 years. Sure.
Right. But the AEW stuff kept kind of popping up, and I was like, that's interesting. I wonder what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the day, and I've told the story a bunch, and I told it on that Facebook live thing we did about the announcement, but the day that Kobe Bryant died was like this horrible day. Like, just the worst. Like, I still remember my friend texting me going, this isn't real. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then, like, seeing what's going on. And, like, I was, like, crying. And I hated Kobe Bryant. Could not fucking stand him. Like, wow. I can cuss on this, right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Hated his guts. Like, basically, like, my least favorite basketball player was Kobe Bryant, because he shot it 30 times and he would get 30 points. It's like, yeah, but his like shooting percentage is garbage. So I didn't like him, but like that really affected me in a way I was like not prepared for. And that same day, I remember like What Culture always pitching, like, hey, just so you know, the network, you first month is free and you can sign up on a pay-per-view day and watch the pay-per-view for free. And I was like, oh, right. Okay. So that night was the Royal Rumble. And so I watched the Royal Rumble that night. Yeah. And it was the Brock Lesnar one where he wipes through like 15. He's the first one in and he wipes through like 15 people. Keith Lee shows up. That's a fun little thing that happens there. And then McIntyre comes in. And I think Ricochet kicks Brock Lesnar in the balls, and then Drew McIntyre claymores Brock over the ropes, and I literally jumped up and screamed. And I was like, and then I was like,
What is this feeling?
What just happened? Yeah. Like, that was weird. That was like some like stuff when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, like, I still have like the ticket over there to Backlash at Kemper Arena, where I saw Hogan beat Triple H for the title. And subsequently, I also saw Brock Lesnar's first pay-per-view match against Jeff Hardy, which is interesting little
thing. Jamie, both of those, right?
I was not at that Backlash. I was at
You were there when Owen Hart died. I know that.
Yeah, I was there when Owen Hart died. God, what
brutal.
Yeah, I did go to the first Money in the Bank. That was in Kansas City. The first Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Sorry, we get off track there. So
no, you're all good.
You became a mark, and then, you know, welcome back to the markdom world.
And by becoming not just a mark, I started watching YouTube videos on, like, once I got into AEW, I became, like, obsessed with what people were doing before AEW.
Yes.
So, and I had already, like, I had already gone through and basically, like, just totally binged all of NWA Power.
Okay.
So I watched pretty much every single episode leading up until the last thing is, like, Aldis versus, like, Scroll is teased, and then they just don't because of the pandemic.
And Marty Scroll.
And Marty's a horrible person. All of that stopped. So when I started getting into AEW and Thunder Rosa shows up and Kingston shows up and Stark shows up, it's like a big deal for me. Like, I was excited. And like I started going back and like watching, like, YouTube has like some great videos of like the history of Bullet Club, the history of Chaos.
Oh, yeah.
And like all these things. You could just go back and watch these things and catch up on all this history that you've missed, but you know these guys now, you know? And so that was fun. So when I've marked out, very heavily and like really dug into some independent stuff too as well. Well, since I've becoming more involved with independent wrestling, I've like really gone some places. I've gone down some rabbit holes.
There's rabbit holes for sure. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, Jamie's always been bigger, more partial into Japanese style. I've been more of a lucha man myself.
I like a little mixture of both. I was a big fan of NXT for a while before that went the way it did.
NXT was
because
fantastic for years.
Well, man, they worked such a strong style. Like, it didn't matter if it was like Kyle O'Reilly or whoever. Like, they were kicking the shit out of each other, and you're like, damn, like,
yeah,
that's rough. That's like tight. Like, you guys are working real close. I really enjoyed that style of wrestling until they started getting away from it, which was a bummer. But I eventually realized that pretty much all the WWE product is not for you. I have come to that conclusion that that's not what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. But you can totally recognize that some of the people that they have are like incredibly talented and need to be, you know, wrestling and not working on a soap opera.
Well said.
Yeah, that's why whenever
we've been saying for the past year.
Well, yeah, that's why whenever we have the releases, we always talk about them, and the end result is always like, in hindsight, it's like, you know, like some of the ones out there. Keith Lee is probably the best thing could happen to him. He gets rid of that bear cap bullshit. He's going to become actually good, right? Ruby Soho, hey Ruby, you know, it's you know, the best career revitalization she could ever hope for was getting released. So.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think it's very good to have, like, I don't want WWE to be bad. Like, I hate their business practices and think they're all full of shit, but, like, it's better if they're good. Like, when NXT was really good and AEW was really good and they were going head-to-head, I was recording every single episode and watching AEW live and then going back and watching NXT after.
Yeah, same.
Like, that is so good for the business and like so like because they're like trying to outwork each other, you know? They're like, oh, you think you're the shit. Well, watch what we got, you know?
Okay. So speaking of independent wrestling here, now we're gonna talk about Dirty Pro more specifically momentarily here.
Yeah.
But you see you've dug into the rabbit hole. How far down have you gone? Is it, you know, have you gotten really into just like Midwestern stuff, freelance, AAW, have gotten into like GCW world and, you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrillas and, you know, some of the, you know, female brands, like where do you like with the independent world right now?
So where it was all mostly coming from is originally is I was just on like an Instagram and I was like finding the wrestlers I liked. And then it like started like, it would start suggesting, you know, independent people. And I'd be like, huh, that's an interesting looking gimmick. What's that? Click on that. Find out what that is. Go down that hole. and seeing who they like and like who's in there. I wish I could see PWG.
Great.
I wish I could watch it. yeah. But they do only do DVD releases. Like, I am pretty in love with, I don't even remember the name of the team, but I remember it's fun. But it's Malachi Black and
Brody King.
I'm like, that's amazing. Well done. Good choice. That's an incredible pairing. And their name is like the team of the cursed Black Death. Something, like, you know what I mean? It's just like perfect for like what they're doing.
Right, right. Super metal tattooed men's.
Yeah. So what I did was I did get a Fight TV subscription, and I did go down an ROH path because I really liked a lot of the people that were in ROH. I did like the ROH pass or whatever. I hopped off of that once I kind of realized I wasn't getting the. Like, everybody's incredibly talented, that's there, but I wasn't getting the story bits that I need for it to be, like, something I have to keep watching.
Right.
I've wanted to go down... so I was watching a lot of ROH. I was checking out Impact when they started really get involved with... I guess these aren't really indies, now that I'm thinking about it. Impact isn't really an indie in ROH.
There's debate about that. I mean, is Impact a major promotion or is it just a big indie? I mean, I'm an old TNA mark. Yeah. So me and Jimmy both loved TNA when it was around Six Sided Ring, pre Hogan.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And
X Division stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
With the crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimate X. One of my favorite matches, bar none.
It's so terrifying, especially that Daniels and. Suicide Flub is.
Yeah. I know, right? So, I consider them a major promotion just because they have the money backing them still.
Yeah.
Like, even though their TV numbers aren't great, whatever.
So basically, I started following wrestlers that I would start seeing pop up a lot. And then stuff that I would start seeing their highlights because it'd be on Instagram, right? Somebody that I was immediately drawn to is like a Ninja Mac. Like, that dude is. A magician of some type. I don't even understand. Like, he doesn't even look like he's in that good of a good of shape, and I don't understand. I don't understand how he's doing the things he's doing.
Well, Gringo Loco's the same way too.
That's the same person I was thinking of. Gringo Loco is like he's a short, stocky, pudgy looking dude, but he could do all sorts of crazy flips.
Are you guys familiar with this Smiley? Do you know of Smiley?
Yes.
Smiley Lucha. Yeah, he was trained by Amazing Red. He's also kind of like a portly dude, but like some of his offense is like just insane. And I'm not sure how he's doing it.
The five logic. Yes.
I really got into, Darius Lockhart. I'm like a giant Darius Lockhart mark. And he's starting to do stuff with NWA now and things, but, there's a lot of, I got into, well, Khan is, he's ROH. Because he's part of Shane Taylor Promotions. But I just dove in. Like, what's that quote from? What's that movie? It's a Seth Rogen, James Franco movie. It's like, I want the shit. Munja, munja, munja. Give me the shit. Give me all of it. I want to ingest it all. Put it directly into my veins. I want to dig through it. I want to find the good. I want to find the bad. Like, I like the amount of people and wrestlers I've followed in the past like 3 or 4 months has been absurd. I'm pretty sure. So that's a struggle I have too, is like, as somebody who's like helping book now, I have to like think that like, most people aren't as marked out as I am right now, where I am like digging this far deep and finding these people. So do they actually bring anything to the table? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, am I going to pay for them to come in and do these things? Like, you know what I mean?
Right. You might enjoy them, but does it make sense to put them in a storyline or in a match?
Yeah.
Here? Right. Exactly.
Are they a draw? Are they a draw in Kansas City?
Correct. Yes. And that's what I feel like I'll be able to understand that better as I do this a little bit more, but that's like something I'm like always fighting in my head of being like, yes, you love this person, but it is not necessary for you to bring them in right now. You know?
Sure.
Wait.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great independent wrestlers out there that have
absolutely
name value. That definitely have the name value. The problem is, of course, that you pay for the name sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's still quite a few, definitely out of the Chicago area for Kansas City. Like, Chicago is a hotbed for Kansas City wrestling, as you know. DJ and Walter have exploited that for as long as they possibly can.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
and they just started expanding on it. They got Chrissy Jane's coming in. You know, she's a West Coaster. You know, and we started doing some of that. So I know you're new, but. What are the plans like for outside talent? Are we still trying to stay semi local? Are we looking again to reach out? Like, is there going to be a big splash for Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie?
Oh, you already knew the name for that. Okay. Well, yeah,
Walter let us know that a few months ago when we were, Weekend of Journeys.
Lemonade Park.
Journey show. And so Jamie wanted to ask about coming up with the names, right?
Yeah.
And while we do that, because we always dig for spoilers, so that's what Jamie's definitely
there
doing.
There are...
No, go.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out what he can tell us and what he can't.
There are some fun stuff. There's some fun stuff happening for December. I will say that. There is some stuff. My thought is that we have a lot of really, really, really talented people here in this city.
You're not wrong.
And like the surrounding area in St. Louis and all these places. And our goal is, if we're going to bring people in, you know, it should also be helping to get our guys over. Or, you know, we need to make sure that we're bringing our people up as well. It's not going to be like, it's Journey Pro is not like other indie promotions in the fact that, like, those promotions rely on booking Malachi Black versus Buddy Matthews. You know,
right.
Like, that's a crazy dream match. It's happened before, but it's a dream match to see it on an independent show. But for Journey Pro, it's unnecessary to spend for that show, that match, because the tickets are already selling with just our guys, you know?
Right.
Like, we don't have to, like, crazily spend, you know? Like, some of these, like, I was just getting into the business right as Minoru Suzuki was wrestling everywhere and in the independents. I'm like, we all know that his number has got to be astronomically high. Is anybody making any money? And everybody's like, oh, they're not. And I'm like, well, then what is anybody do? Why are they doing it? You know, like, I get to, like, pop yourself and be like, I booked Minoru Suzuki. But at some point, you get the, like,
that put up there, but yeah.
Right. Yeah.
For
what purpose, you know? Like, and I just think, like, we have a great, like, stable of regulars here that we want to start really doing more stories for. And, like,
yes.
Like, these guys are storytellers, right? Like, mm-hmm. So a lot of these indie promotions, they're just throwing great matches together, and that's kind of it. Sure. You know, there's no, like, point. It's just, let's just throw this match together. It'll be cool. And it's like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, I'm all down for, like, being like, hey, let's do this match because nobody's ever done it before. Like, that's fun. But also, like, especially with our guys, like, we want to build something here that is, like, different than what other people offer.
Well, I think it's interesting you say that, because you look at the state of the indies, and, you know, for those of you listening, we've talked a lot about different indie promotions. We definitely have our favorites and whatever, but a lot of the ones that we really like and, you know, really akin to do that. And we tend to use GCW as that measuring stick a lot around here, because Jamie and I are big fans of GCW, especially getting to go to a GCW show live. And, like, yes, mm-hmm. I mean, I was in on GCW, and then I went to a show. It's kind of like, I'm a big hockey fan, of course, right? People are like, I didn't really grow up, but I don't know, you know, hockey. I'm like, let me take you to a hockey game. Let me take you to an NHL hockey game. And then they're like, okay, I'm in now. I like, So it's kind of the same thing with GCW. So, but they do that. They have, it's not just, like you said, flash booking. There's some of that that's involved, right? But, you know, you take take a Moxley coming in and make that into an ongoing storyline. Take Cardona. Cardona and Effie is one of the best feuds out there in wrestling right now. I don't care who you are. I love that. You know, so they're taking the stuff and running it long term. So it kind of separates like some of these indie promotions from just being shows that are, you know, just a bunch of spots thrown together on a Saturday night to an actual launch a promotion. So I'm glad that that's kind of a thought process you guys have, because, you know, it's part of the reason we like Journey Pro so much. This is not just a collection of talent. It's an actual wrestling show, right?
Yeah. And it's like something too, like we don't want to, we want these guys, these people that are these guys and gals that are here and like are like local talent to like, if we do our jobs right here at Journey Pro, Journey Pro becomes a destination for all these people to come, right? Like right. All these people that are well known that have been on TV before, they want to come here and wrestle here. But then what that also does, as long as we start getting our internet presence right, like it starts putting our guys on the map for other promotions. Mm-hmm. And so the idea would be that we do such a great job with them here that it expands their horizons of where they can work.
Yeah. So to that point, man, like, I mean, to our homegrown talent that we have here, like we you have people like the Howlets, which obviously we're giant fans of.
Heel shit.
Hashtag heel shit.
You know, and then you have that. I don't know, like the Zenith, the blue chipper, whatever, Kenny Alfonso, like that guy, my God, and he's homegrown and he is absolutely amazing. Thumbs and Buns, they're tons of fun too. Like, that's the thing. Like, I've noticed the booking lately too has done a really good job of bringing somebody in to help them. You know, like if I was to fantasy book anything that is attainable, in my opinion, I would love to see like the Briscoes going against Howlett's. They're wow. Damn near the same exact style, and it's again putting over the Howlett's because they're so amazing, and then you have like you bring in that big team, and hopefully you guys, I know I think you guys would put Howlett's over, but that's here nor there, but you know what I'm saying, like to get that big build, and you're already doing some of that great storytelling with Kenny Alfonso, which we'll talk about when we get to the show. But man, like I agree. Like what you guys are doing and what you're thinking of for the homegrown talent to get them out there, it would make my heart so happy to see the Howlett's, you know, actually wrestle a dark match instead of having, you know, a Darby Allin face on, you know, or get bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and same with Kenny Alfonso. Like that kid, my God, he's a freak athlete, and
yeah.
I love this.
Oh, he's not gonna be on Journey Pro. He's gonna be above that level in the near future. No offense to Journey Pro or anything, but that kid has definitely got he's got a future ahead of him in a larger promotion, not too distant. I truly believe that.
I also want to give a shout out to the guys and gals that we work with, because it's like, when we're doing storyline stuff, like we're asking them what their thoughts are or what's your ideas.
Okay,
like,
cool.
What do you want to do? Like, you know, like we have enough guys in that guys and girls in that locker room that have done this for a long time or have trained people and done these things and like can really help bring these younger guys along and like help them with kind of anything. And so like a lot of my past few days since the show has been talking with a lot of people about what do you want to do? Like, what is your ideas? Because like, here's one I have, right? Throw out an idea, then they send it back. You know, it's okay. it's like, I feel like,
very collaborative.
Right. And we have a very strong, like Journey Pro family. And this is like wild for me to say, because I'm very new to it, but like, I want them to care. Like, if they care about what they're doing rather than like me, DJ, and Walter like throwing a match together that they could give a shit less about, like, I want them to care about it. And like, yeah. We're going to be better for it, you know?
Absolutely.
Totally agree. Well, I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great way to do it. I mean, yeah, you're definitely not following in Vince's footsteps there, but thank God. So let's talk about the show, because Thanksgiving, which is Jamie's probably favorite name for a show ever.
Hands down. That retains 78 weeks later. It's right between those two.
I'm still partial to Die Hard as a Christmas movie. I know we got Die Hard 2 as a Christmas movie coming up here. But
yes, Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie. That's the name. Right. So.
There's the so album, which if you had, if you were not at the show, you did not hear it. It's December 17th.
December 17th.
I think it's going on sale soon, right?
Should be this weekend or Monday at the very latest.
Okay.
Oh, sweet. Sweet.
Kick ass. So let's talk about the show, though. So Thanksgiving, like I said, it was a kind of a return show of sorts. We had that month off, health issues getting sorted out. Walter was there. He's looking good. It's great to talk to him, but so no show in October, back at Blip Coffee Roasters, and not sweltering hot either, which is fantastic. So,
yeah, it felt good in there. It felt really good in there.
It was wonderful. It was perfect. And the show itself, okay, so little minor setups that we noticed that we really liked. The ring was kind of spun on an axis. So
cattywampus. It was cattywampus.
Oh, yes, I like that. Very cattywampus.
So before it was like push up against the window on the far side, and it made basically two sides of the ring unusable. And it was kind of odd, but this way here, you kind of spun it on a diamond. It made the seating better around it. And I just felt it's like such a little change. It was perfect. So
yeah, and that was a call when we were pulling it out, and we were about to set it up. I think DJ asked the guys, "What is better for you?" And the guys that were helping set up the ring, made the call of like how the ring would set.
Yeah, it to me it flowed a lot better because you basically had a lot of unusable space over to the left too. And
the only thing is that bar. Right in the middle of the ring with the lights on it. It got clipped
twice.
In the same match.
Well, no. Oh, yeah.
There's two matches that happened.
Yeah. Three times. Twice in the opener, Thumbs and Buns, Donnie Pepper Cricket, and Jason Strife match. And then once in the main event.
Which is funny, because right before it started, I think after the first clip happened, Jamie immediately called out. He's like, "Oh, you know that the KLD match, they're gonna tear those lights off."
I was like, when they clipped it, it was like the lights went out for a second, and I was like,
"Uh-oh, here we go."
Don't do any damage.
I mean, hey, it's nice to have lighting right there, but
yeah,
it's not the Fan of Death from Kansas Hall, but still,
no.
I miss the Fan of Death of some sort. So, because you'd hit it and you get all that dust that would fall for like the next 5 minutes. And anyway, reminiscing. So, Thanksgiving opened. You mentioned it. You had Donnie Pepper Cricket, Jason Strife versus Thumbs and Buns. And the crowd was, first of all, like, the show felt, I think the overall numbers were a little bit lower than the last Blip Roaster show. I no doubt that has to deal with, you know, last month and this month and ticket carryover and whateverness. Yep. But
I will say, though, a lot of the check-ins that I did when I was at the front door were for Freaks Come Out at Night. So.
That's good. That's good. I know there was a few people that were still buying tickets at the door because it was sold out. Mm-hmm. But there was some whatever.
We knew that basically there was some people that had tickets to Freaks Come Out at Night that were not going to show.
Gotcha. So whatever. I thought the crowd. It was actually
good.
One of the more engaging wrestling shows I've ever been to, which is I don't know about you, Jamie, but it's partially why I was really fond of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I agree. I think the crowd involvement was excellent. And it wasn't from the usual, like, two or three people, which was nice as well. Like,
starting chants, like you and I starting chants.
We start the chants. I yell Lion Tamer. It's just the usual things that happen. But then we had this other guy over on the other side just absolutely giving it to, you know, Jeremy Wyatt and a couple of the other people. I was like, my God, like, yes, that's what I'm talking
Nick
about.
Nick Chin's kids calling Jeremy Wyatt dog water.
It's so good.
Oh, guys, see, Jamie thought those were made mighty for a hot minute. Thought those were Wyatt's kids, and I go, "That's cold."
No.
Like he's raising them as heels. That's cold as ice.
Yeah, it was very funny. And then I love the crowd did the Jeremy Dogwater chant. That was spot on. Whoever started that, love that.
We started that.
Me along with one of the guys behind me, the guy in the lucha mask. Chris, we started that. But, you know, so good opening match. I think it was the perfect opening match, personally, because, you know, I love Donnie Pepper Cricket. I mean, Thumbs and Buns, great. We love them, you know. But
I mean, Donnie coming Pepper out to take Cricket. On me by the Real Big Fish version.
It's the right way to get the crowd hot. Show. Absolutely.
That's good. We like to have fun.
So you roll from that right into Gary J's match, which I found interesting because... you would think Gary J, who didn't have his belt for some reason. I really wanted to see him wearing the new belt, but
you know why he's not wearing his belt, right?
Did he already drop it?
No. So right after he won, there was a video that came out. It was like, Gary, you just won the title. What are the rules? And he looks right in the camera and goes, the rules are when I defend this thing, it's at home. And he walks off the camera.
Ah, so he's only defending it in St. Louis. They didn't bring... That's good. Continuity for Gary J. So, the match... This is one of my favorite matches, though, because JDX we'd seen before, and we've seen him on Dark, and oh my god, this match was so good.
It was fun, right? I was like, we were like, man, who can we... We're like looking for stuff, and like stuff like, as I'm sure you guys probably already know... Stuff you have planned and set falls through, and you just got to kind of figure it out.
Right.
And so there was a lot of that for the show. And I think part of that was like people just didn't know, like, you know, understandably so, not sure exactly what's going on with us and what we're doing, right. You know, it's with everything that's happening.
Show as a foursome, and I know that Walt's taking a step back, but his first show is a foursome running the show as opposed to just being Walter and DJ. So
yeah, and there's
a dynamic. You guys got to get into a rhythm. I know how it goes. Yeah, so
right. So I mean, stuff just falls through, and then we just like there was one day I was like, we just need to finish this DJ, and we sat there and we just laid out the whole run of the show. And we had to move around a couple things because we got some phone calls that were a bummer. And we moved some stuff around. And I think DJ was like, yo, what if we did JDX versus Gary? And I was like, actually, yeah.
Yes, thank you. give it to me again. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
JDX, another one's got a bright future. I know he's been on Dark a few times or Dark Elevation or whatever, you know.
Yeah. But... he's very good. And I honestly, like, I'm also such a mark that I watch Dark and Dark Elevation partially because selfishly as like now an independent promoter and booker,
you're like, who can I get, right?
Yeah. I scout from that. And then I'll like forget like somebody's name that I saw a very long time ago on there. And then they'll magically show up in an Instagram story. And I'm like, that's the one. Yeah.
Like Sky Blue. We'd love to see Sky Blue in Kansas City, just saying.
Okay.
Well,
I think she's AEW talent now.
Is she was doing AEW talent? I thought she did something at... she just did something somewhere else, I think.
No, at AEW. She won the AAW Women's Championship.
That's what I was saying.
And then got jumped by Christy Jane afterwards. It was a fantastic angle.
Yeah. Chrissy James was awesome when she was at the Secret Show too.
Like, I love Chrissy James in general. I think she's
I missed the Secret Show because I was working at that time for that was a Lemonade. That was when I was at Lemonade Park, and there was a show in town. We had the Get Up Kids that night, so I was not available to go to that.
I do remember that because Walter kept like deprecating saying himself, you know, only this idiot books a show same night as a Get Up Kids show, and I was like, it's okay, Walter,
it's fine.
All right. So, so Gary J wins, of course. Big pop there for
Those
Gary
chops.
J.
Those chops.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes.
Like, I literally thought JDX is going to leave with one less nipple than he have showed up because, my God, those chops were
brutal.
And then after, what was the match after that? Was that,
hold on, I'll let you know. I got the run of show over here.
I guess where was the triple threat?
Was it the, I can't remember because triple threat.
I gotta frame this somewhere, but.
Yeah, you do.
It was, Darian Banks and Ethan Everhart, Jay Marston, Marston and Trevor Ryan.
It was a four-way scramble. Yeah. Right. Which Trevor Aeon, we've talked about in the past before. I love his look. Jamie really loves his gimmick.
He's so over too. Like the crowd ate him up like a spoon, man. Like they're just like,
well, he's like he's like the scary one, right? He's like, yeah. So like, oh, look out, he's going to murder you.
Which, yeah, we talked to him after Weekend Journeys, and he's like the nicest dude.
Like, oh, so nice. He's amazing.
So polite and so like calm and low key. You know, it's just like, oh my God, like, oh, thank you guys very much. And it's like, oh, I thought that's not the same person. What the hell?
Yeah,
but, yeah. And that match definitely gave us a swerve because I thought it was Trevor Aeon and had it in the bag. And I again, to your point, appreciate that because Bankston got the win, the local homegrown boy. He got the win there. I like that. The one thing though, like this is the second time we've seen Ethan Everhart. I like to call him Jungle Bro because he looks like Jungle Boy and Matt Riddle, like were mashed together.
True.
Where is he out of?
Iowa. I think Iowa.
You're super confident in that answer.
Don't quote me on that. let me double check that actually.
Yeah, he's the Jungle Bro. That's what you should just go by, is Jungle Bro.
He did a move in that match that I loved, and yeah, he's in Iowa. I had to I had to like tell him that I loved it because like that was fucking really rad. He did this like somebody was like on all fours or something in front of him and he was like in the turnbuckle and then he like sprung off of them and like did a body drop on someone. Yeah, and it looked awesome, and I was like, that was super rad. Really loved that. Whatever that was, don't even know what to call it, but it looked really cool.
Do more of that.
Yeah, that was fun. Really enjoyed that.
And then after we had the scramble, was that the women's match or did we have the triple threat?
No, that would have been Wyatt.
That was, right? Jeremy Wyatt and Vinny Pacifico.
That was, yeah, Jeremy Wyatt and Vinny Pacifico. And I was so happy to see Vinny Pacifico. I wasn't on board with the Backstreet Boys intro like a lot of people were there, but whatever.
Oh, people loved that. Like so many people loved it. Because they had to pull it off of YouTube, they had to use the video audio, and I think it added something to it because there was a long buildup, and then the song hit, and everybody was like, oh my God.
Yeah, yes. Well, I sat there right by him. I go, is he coming out to the Backstreet Boys?
That's why I'm like, no, he wouldn't. Yeah, you're right. It took like extra long, and then it did. And I was like, okay.
I think it worked.
I know the intro.
Jeremy Wyatt still getting that heat though. Loved it.
Oh man,
Nick Chin's kids. Oh my God, that was glorious. Like
very good.
Jamie, you know the ongoing gag with. It's not even a gag. It's a real thing between Jamie and Jeremy Wyatt. Jamie's favorite move being a lion tamer.
Right,
Jeremy Wyatt wears lions.
Has the lion on the side and he does a lion tamer.
For years now been trolling him to do a lion tamer. And
he gave me a shoulder fake out. Did you see that though? He gave me a shoulder fake out like he was going to do it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get it. And then he didn't. I'm like, God,
as soon as there's a perfect opportunity to troll him, you know, that Jamie was going to troll him. Chin's kids, which I thought were his kids, but Chin's kids kind of started just digging into him with dog water. And
do you pick your nose? Do you still pick your nose or something like that? Is very good. There was a kid. There's a group of, I wonder if it was the same ones, but there was kids at the Lemonade Park show that once the Howlets came in and ruined the time for Gary. Yeah. There was a couple of kids that were like screaming at the Howlets as they were walking away and they're like, go back to kindergarten. And I was like, I fucking love you so much.
Raise your kids right, folks. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
That's awesome. Then we had intermission. Then it went to what I'm calling match of the night of Heidi Howitzer versus Masha Slamovic.
This was your match of the night.
Hands down.
Okay. Got it. Noted.
I mean, this is, if I had to pick a he's between this and the Howitz match, but I mean, this match was unbelievable. This is so good.
This match fucked. That's all there is to it. That
was your prediction and it followed through. Well, we've seen Heidi before. It's great to see Heidi again. Crowd loves her. We love her. It's great. Got to talk to her again after the show, a little bit longer this time too, and she's just fantastic.
She's great.
Didn't get a chance to talk to Masha because I saw her for a hot minute. I was talking to the house. I turned around. She was gone. She was off the merch table. She probably had another show the next night. But it was great to see her in person because we've been fans of her for a while. Happy she's now with Impact Wrestling on a contract. That's cool. And it's great to see her live. She did not disappoint. These two together worked great as well because it was like, you know, you get those meat matches, like Big E would say, big meat slapping men slapping meat, right?
Big boy slapping beef.
Yeah. We felt this is going to be a female equivalent, not because of the size of the women, but because of their very firm nature of strength. And it definitely was a stronger match that... It was great. Great move.
It was fun.
And then at the end was fantastic because they had a great little turnabout back and forth bit there, which led. I loved it. Wrestling wise, this was probably the best wrestling match of the night, I would say.
Yeah. Best swerve. Okay. I mean, the best ending was definitely the last, but this was like.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Oh, this match, though. Like. If any of our listeners have not watched Heidi Howitzer or Masha Slamovic, the person with probably the greatest ring name of all time, like you need to do yourself a favor.
Claim there, Jamie.
Dude, Masha Slamovic.
That's a good one. That's really good.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying. There's another. Anyway,
there are others.
I mean, there's other good ones. Comment down below. What's your favorite ring name of all time? Let's do that. Give us a comment. Give us a tweet on Twitter at Total Spot Fest. Let us know your favorite ring name of all time. Is Masha Slamovic the best? Chris, you want to chime in on that? What you got?
Yeah.
Coco Beware.
Coco Beware is pretty solid. I mean,
Coco Beware.
It's a fucking great name. It's so good. It's such a cool, like, Beware. Love that. It's like there's this basketball player in the 70s called World Be Free. He changed his name, obviously, but it's got the same energy, and I dig it.
Oh Lord!
I still like Axe and Smash Demolition. Like that's probably the quintessential perfect.
And then they bring in Crush as the third one, and it's just like, oh, you had a good pattern. Axe Smash. I mean, Crash is the obvious third answer, right? Crash, but no Crush. Whatever.
Thanks, Vince.
Fucking Vince. Thanks.
Gobbledygooker, right there.
Gobbledygooker.
That's the best one. That's really the best one ever.
Gobbledygooker versus what was Young Boy's favorite? The with the stormtrooper helmet and the glory.
Shockmaster.
And the brutal. Yeti. We're giving you the worst ones. Give us your favorite screen names down below. All right. So that match did fuck. After that match. We then had the triple threat.
Yes, correct. Dallas Cade versus Luke Langley versus Christian Rose.
Which I love the fact that we... Great match. And these three, very familiar to all of us here in Journey Pro, and had a great back and forth because you had the dueling chants of Dallas Cade and Christian Rose. And Luke Langley's in the middle just like, what about me?
It went Dallas, it went Rose, and then somebody said also Luke. Which was a great part of the chant that started.
That's even better. Even love better. That. These three work very well together. Like I said, we're very familiar with them here in Journey Pro. Christian Rose got the victory in this, but
he did.
And it's interesting to see here. So I don't, you know, we're trying to pull you for angles. I know there was the whole angle of him and Gary feuding, which I wasn't the biggest fan of. I told Walter that. It seems like Christian's more face again here. So, you know, I know you're not going to give in to us here, but, you know, is the idea to pull Christian more of himself, or do you think that he's going to get back into an angle?
So what's the next one on the card here?
I can confirm more than that.
This is my two cents, man. I'm just as a fan.
I'm just tears so I won't get fined. So.
I don't know if you like the whole Gary and Christian feuding thing, Jamie, or not, but I don't know. Personally, I like them individually on their own angles.
I liked it because you had two guys who want it. And, you know, when you have two uber competitive people, faces or not, they're going to push each other every now and again. And every now and again, you got to fight. So that's probably going to happen. It's going to be a culmination and it's going to be great. They're going to shake hands and everything's going to be hunky dory again, but they just got to get it out.
They were wrestling each other in the Ticket to Ride match.
Right. And then they got interrupted by the Howlets, which led to that amazing, false count anywhere, no DQ match at the baseball diamond.
And that was also Christian Rose at Lemonade called them knockoff Roman Reigns. And then,
yes.
And then it forced Christian and Gary to work together. Right. Which is good, right? Like there's beats here that make something really fun.
There is.
You know?
Yes. I agree. I agree.
From a competitive angle, I like it, I think that, feuding wise, it's like I can understand why Christian went after Gary after they lost at the Edwardsville because competitive and he was mad at him and they wanted to proceed along. There was the whole bit at the beginning about not taking the free ticket that Walter was offering. So anyway, that's good. We'll see what's going on here. So after that match, we had Hallett's match next. So Kenny Alfonso was in the main event. And so before that, you had Hallett's versus the Premier.
The Hallett's called their shot on this when we interviewed them. They're like, who would you want to face? They're like, we want to face the Premier. I'm like, okay. And then it happened. I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. And wow, that match had everything
this
I wanted.
This was my match of the night, personally.
You're a Hallett's mark, so I mean,
I am a Hallett's mark, yes, but I also love me some Campbell Myers, and I don't know, this match in total, I think I tend to like gravitate towards tag matches a lot when we're talking about
like
the
tag
night.
Team wrestling, yeah,
because you get the flurry of spots too. I'm definitely I'm being more of like a AAA lucha style kind of you know preferential treatment guy. I like the spot fest, so I like seeing them go through the one person does their and then another then one person on the other team, then the other person on this team, and the other person on that, back and forth. I enjoy the extra spots that you get out of a tag match. So,
I'm a tag team mark for sure.
Absolutely. One of my favorite spots out of the whole thing was when Campbell Myers looked at Nia and goes, "Hey, Nia, you're a fucking pussy." And then, like, literally, like, everybody's like, "There's kids in the stand. There's kids in the audience." So.
Yeah,
it's true. It's so good. And then the merch part is like, we got merch.
That's good.
And at the beginning of Nia was fantastic. I even got him riled up because I just go, fuck him up, Nia. And he looks at me and goes, don't tell me what to do.
Who said that?
Yeah. He goes, don't tell me what to do.
and then our girl, Bird Girl, had, a hashtag heel shit sign.
Yeah.
And he was just saying that sign sucks. It was so good. Like, dude, they are probably the best heels around.
They're so good. And
they're a lot of fun. I like them a lot.
They end up getting the victory as well, which I thought was great also. And I don't know if you've been following Triple L at all, Jamie, but we talked last time when we interviewed the Hallett's because they just had released the Anaya versus Effie match. And then recently Hoodie went up against Effie on their last show at Triple L.
Effie in Kansas City. That's all I gotta say about that.
We need to make Kansas City wrestling gayer. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yes, and you know what? If Journey Pro needs to do a GoFundMe just to get Effie here, I will gladly donate just to get him here because he is an amazing wrestler. We got to see him GCW, and my God, he's just so good.
Yeah, we saw him. We saw him fight Jake something in GCW. It was fantastic. It was so good.
Jake something. What's my name?
Jamie loves that.
I'm a big Effie fan.
So
Effie's great. Effie's great.
Hashtag Effie to Journey Pro. Main event was Kenny Alfonso versus KLD, formerly known as Letterman. Ooh. And he did not like when people brought that up in the true heel fashion.
So I said it at the same time another guy said it to him. We're both going, Letterman! Yeah. And then he flipped off the other guy. I'm like, oh, I didn't get anything out of that. That sucked. But yeah, people were just going at him. And those chops in that match.
Like, how can he walking today is beyond me. He just got, like, the first, like, 7 minutes of that match, he just got annihilated. It was, you know, him and JDX both got the shit chopped out of them tonight on this show. It was a thing.
And then, yeah, when we're, you know, blocking off, making sure that, you know, we keep it separate from the crowd, that one of those chops that made its rounds on Twitter and Instagram where Kenny falls to his knees, because whoever recorded it is just like, ah! And it's a fantastic clip. That one, I felt the reverberation in my chest because I was standing next to Kenny when it happened, and I felt it in my chest, and I was like, oh, God. Yeah. I don't envy.
Well, they always say that, you know, the chop is not so much about the strength. It's a leverage thing. If you have longer arms, you get a good, you know, whatever. But I think the size of your hand plays a good role in that as well. And KLD is a big boy. He's got big old hands. And yeah, those chops were just reverberating off of Kenny.
It was bad. And then poor Kenny. Well, Kenny wins. And then
after he gets thrown through the lights almost at one point in time, like we talked about, it was bound to happen.
Yeah, he clipped his foot.
Yeah,
that middle light was teetering there for a second as well. It was.
I literally was like,
"Yeah, I thought we're gonna have the natural moment, you know, like the lights would all start just blowing up."
That would have been amazing. But after, yeah, you're talking about it, so Kenny does win. Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
So then Kenny wins, but then after that, he gives a speech about how much he loves Kansas City Pro Wrestling, and then out comes Moonshine Mantel and absolutely murders. Kicks the living shit out of poor Kenny. Like, he killed Kenny, you bastard. Like, that's how bad it was.
You killed Kenny Chance, indeed.
Oh, man. Like, he
Kenny. He then, you know, killed Big Dick Nick Chen. Two of the Journey Pro ring guys, roadies, if you would, made a move at DJ and then backed off. I mean, he was just
He shoved me when I was checking on Kenny.
Oh, that's right, he did.
Oh, yeah. That's right, it was you. I can't remember. I thought it was DJ for a second.
I was checking on Kenny, and he pushed me back and grabbed Kenny and threw Kenny into the ring.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was a moonshine riot that had occurred, and
Jovi guy, so that makes sense. He's another Jovi guy. Storytelling, people, storytelling, tapping and indies. Let's go.
That really escalated quickly. That got very out of hand very fast.
Sure did. But all the best ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's safe to say at Christmas, or Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie. I think it's pretty safe to say that we're going to see Moonshine Mantel versus Kenny Alfonso. I feel like that's a safe bet at this point.
And if you're booking that, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, I would think that's a safe bet.
He's not going to drop that.
I'm just going to say that it's clearly on the table because Kenny's pretty pissed off. So
it's going to happen. Hopefully it happens.
One would assume
after getting murdered.
It's a Christmas movie because I'd like to see a Christmas themed, like, with weapons brawl, like, you know, like they do in like TNA and shit, where we have like, yes, It's the Christmas trees and other things used as violent accessories. You want that. Don't shake your head at me, Jamie. I know you want that. I want that. I want that. Let's go.
No, no. You know what I want? You know what I want for Christmas? It's a goddamn lion tamer. That's what I want. All
right, so all
but yeah, I wanted to... I wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought about the Kenny Alfonso KLD main event and everything that kind of happened subsequent after that.
Well, it tore the roof off. I mean, that crowd was boiling hot at that point. It was awesome.
I didn't. The thing is, because on paper, I would have guessed the Halas versus the Premier as the main event, right? That's what I would have thought on paper, because the Premier. I mean, they got stuff going on first wrestling. Howlett's, of course, have been over. But then again, Howlett the main event several shows. Or they main evented secret shows, you know, recently.
Right.
So, yeah, that'd be two in a row. So it wasn't necessarily as surprising, I would say. But I was a little bit surprised by that. But, you know, I think that they delivered. I think that, you know, KLD has... You know, the juxtaposition of like the big brawler with the little guy is all David and Goliath. It's classic trope. It always gets over no matter what. So I really liked it. And I like Jamie, I'm more excited for the long term as well. We say long term with Kenny Alfonso, using that as a relative term, probably, but the long term with Moonshine, because that really gets my gears going. You know, him and KLD was cool and all, but I like the prospects of the future with Kenny, and ending it on that note, fantastic.
Yeah, I was scared because it's my first show. You don't want to scare anybody away or anything. So I like the prospect of it, and you know, I mean, Kenny's excellent. And Mantell is a vet that is also very excellent. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I think whatever comes next is, it's exciting. And I'm like that moment where, and I talked about this on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, but like that moment when Kenny got up on the turnbuckle and couldn't believe that he won and everybody stood up and cheered. Like I got teared up. Because I was like, wow, man, like this is pretty incredible. Like this is special. Whatever's happening right now is special.
It was a special moment. I totally agree. I think, you know, Kenny, from where we saw him start as just a jobber in NWL.
Oh, a little scrawny kid too. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but he was a little scrawny guy when we first saw him in NWL.
And then he was with Alpha when he did the Alpha and Omega thing, which was awesome for him. And then now to see this meteoric rise of this guy who's got all the talent in the world, it's so good. Like
he had kids coming up to him after at Lemonade Park, wanting to take pictures with him, like, you know, like John Cena sort of style. It's unbelievable.
It was cool. Like, and that's the thing. Like, he almost to me embodies Journey Pro in a lot of different ways. He's the little guy that everybody wants to count out because he's the little guy, but man, he just keeps going and keeps winning, just keeps getting better and better and better. Next thing you know, he's going to be champion. You know, he's going to get the strap and he's going to be the big dog on the block. And I really feel like he embodies the spirit of Journey Pro in that aspect. To get all philosophical and shit.
So let me ask you about this, Chris. So being this was your first show that you helped put on, and we talked briefly after the show, after we were hanging out with the wrestlers and you guys and, you know, kind of chatting a little bit, but what are your thoughts now? It's been a few days about how it went, how you feel, what's your confidence level going forward here now that you got one under your belt and you kind of got a rhythm into you? What are your thoughts now being on that side of the curtain of things?
Well, when I was coming in, like, and I, a little behind the scenes action here, I was originally just coming in to help out with production. So I was going to be like, I was going to have a job basically of like making the production run well. And, you know, with everything that happened with Walter getting sick and everything, it was like, hey, like that thing that you knew was probably coming pretty soon, like you would start in production, but quickly get to this moment of you have to put on a show and book it yourself. Like it was like, hey, by the way, we have a show in 3 weeks. So no. It was like, yeah, it was kind of a lot to take on. And, I gotta say that, I was kind of told early on that like, maybe like people might be a little standoffish just cause you're nobody knows who you are and you're just coming in. Right. But everybody has been so helpful and amazing at like welcoming me into this community that, I didn't feel out of place, or I did, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like I was at a new job. Like, I felt like I was, okay. I was supposed to be there. You know, awesome. It wasn't like that first day of work where you're like, oh man, I don't know about this.
This fucking guy, we got to put up with, you know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. I like, everybody has been really helpful and welcoming. And like, I've talked to so many people, as of late that have run their own promotions before or are currently running their own promotions, and they will talk with me for long periods of time, just like discussing ideas and like what, like, if I have questions, they answer them, you know, like it's been awesome. And honestly, like, I know that, DJ on your last episode said that, we'll have a training school this in the next year. Like, I'm like extremely confident that what the things that you are going to see happen in the next, like this next month, and the subsequent months, we'll, you know, we'll take January off, but we'll be back in February. Like the things you'll see happen in that time, like I am extremely confident that like Journey Pro is going to put Kansas City back on the wrestling map, and that like there's things are falling into a place in a weirdly, I'm forgetting the word for it. Organic. Like things just seem to be, what's that? Yeah. Organic, a very organic way. And things are happening that are like, it's just like quicker and than I thought, you know, like I thought, I was like, oh, maybe it just takes a minute, like we're gonna have to struggle a bit, or you know what I mean, but like things seem to be happening in a way that I am extremely excited about. And like I didn't know how much storytelling happens in indie wrestling, you know, I come from watching it on TV where it's like all storytelling. Mm-hmm. So like that's been something very exciting for me in the past like few weeks that has been, you know, like talking with everybody and like figuring out what they want to do and like thinking of like, even if it's not completely obvious to the audience, there is a story happening, you know, like, maybe it'll become clear because they'll start being more, internet promos and things like that. Like we have a new video crew coming in for December that is like live streams are going to be like every show. Like every show will be live streamed with a production company that we're working with and like we want to be able to have that content readily available, not for just the talent, but for us as well, to help promote ourselves, not just in Kansas City, but to the wrestling world at large. Like where we're at in the middle of the map of the US, like we should be an easy linking point for a lot of these guys that do weekend runs. Yeah. Like it's like, it just makes a lot of sense. Like if they're going to Texas or they're going to Chicago or they're going wherever, like they should come to Journey Pro on the way. And, yeah, I'm, at first I was, I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't ever worry or get anxiety about this, you know, cause I do, I'm just a worrier. So I'm going to like get nervous and be like, is anybody going to show up or but like, what's going to happen? But like, I am like really, really confident in what Journey Pro is going to have to offer is like not what everybody else does. And that, we're really onto something special here that, hopefully can live on for a long time.
Awesome. That's great things. I know that we got, you know, I think I can't remember who we're talking with, but you know, waxing politically about some of those bits is definitely how you separate yourself. Like, we talk a lot about GCW, Jamie and I, because like I said, since we've been to a show, we love GCW now. And how do they become big? Well, they become big by doing those steps, like you said, the internet, and taking advantage of that during the pandemic and growing from this crazy Northeast, you know, deathmatch promotion to one of the hottest things in indie wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
Expanding that. How do you do that organically? How do you do it in brand? Which I, that's the part I like about everything that's been done. And even with the addition of yourself and Hartzell, it doesn't feel like you're bringing in some guys from out of nowhere. It's like you're bringing in Journey Pro guys, you know, that are now part of the, you know, the team that's putting everything on for us marks. So that's what we love.
My first Journey Pro show I saw was 78 weeks later. I was in there in the heat with all of y'all. And the next time I talked to Walter, I was like, we need to do a show together. We want to do something at Lemonade Park, and like the date that he had unfortunately was only during the day, so it was very warm and everybody got very sunburned, but I think it was a great show.
I still have tan lines from that fucking show, by the way. Like, I have permanent tan
lines.
Like,
you're rocking the McGrady jersey, right?
I had the McGrady jersey in my swim trunks, yeah. And it's like I still have permanent tan lines. Well, my leg ones are partially because, you know, cycling, I wear bike shorts that are, but anyway, but yeah, I got burned hard on the backs of my shoulders and my knees. Yeah.
And that show was fun. And that was like, I was running the production management side of that show, but I still wasn't really involved yet with Journey. It was like, hey, I made the show, I basically booked the show at Lemonade Park. And like, you know, Journey brought in their show, you know. I just made the date available for them and made it happen, and then I helped that day. I was there all day. I was there at 9 a.m. I think. I was there the entire day, and then we also had a show after that. We had a concert after that evening, so I was there for that as well. Yeah, so like those were my first two experiences with it, and just like how much of a fan I had become of wrestling and like just beginning to dive into indie stuff, I was like, well, like, let me know whatever I can do. Like, I want to be involved. Yeah, I was like, let me know. Like, I want to help, and I have the means to help.
Well, We're glad you're involved with everything here. So we like to do a thing we have called the Impossible Games. Before we get in there, Jamie, any other questions? Anything else, topics you want to touch on with Chris?
Not yet. I want to get to these questions.
All right. So
sweet.
Impossible Games, just that. I know you've heard us before, so you know, kind of have an idea where we're going to go with here. We like to get a good baseline here, but we have a variety of different Impossible Games. Jamie's going to give you one, and I'm going to give you one, too. So, Jamie, why don't you take it away? Let's do the first Impossible Game with Chris Mowry.
All right, so you heard our conversation with DJ. So we do this game. It's like FMK. Is Feud, Faction, or Fire? So somebody you want to feud with, somebody you'd faction with, or somebody you would fire. So, you know what? Since you're new, I think we might just change it up just a little bit and see if our answers change. Just a little bit here. All right. So we'll go with Gary J. We'll go with Dallas Kane. And we'll go with the tag team this time, of Thumbs and Buns.
Switching it up a bit.
Just a little bit.
So, as a reminder, you have to feud with one of them. You can faction with another, but you do have to fire the third.
Yeah, they Thanos into out of existence.
We're just Thanosing him. Jesus Christ, man.
I definitely don't want to feud with Gary J. I don't want to take those chops at all.
Fair.
Who would?
Okay, so it's faction, feud, and what was fired. The other one?
Fire. And fire. You got to fire somebody.
I think I'm factioning with Gary.
Okay.
Because he's an ass kicker, and I am not. So that is a good pairing. I'm feuding with Dallas because he's fun. I like Dallas.
Sure.
And I guess I have to fire. I don't want to fire Thumbs and Buns. I don't want
process of elimination.
Though. And also feuding with Thumbs and Buns. There's two of them. Like, that's not good. You don't want to do that. That's two against one.
But if you're factioning with Gary J.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, you know what? I'm sticking with my gut.
Sorry, Micah. You're out.
I love you, Micah.
All right. So the one we did with Walter and DJ was we'll call it more of a legacy branded Dirty Pro. It was Gary J, Jeremy Wyatt, and who was the other one? Hoodie Hallett is who it was.
Yeah.
They both had no problem firing Hoodie, especially Walter's like, well, Hoodie is always telling me he's going to quit, so I'd fire him right away. So that's the first possible game. The other one here, we like to mix it up a little bit too, because it's not all about wrestling, right?
Okay.
Now, we're big media guys, you know, music, movies. Jamie is definitely the movie file person of the two of us. Movie stuff. He's got a whole wall of horror things, especially horror movies, but movies in general, Jamie's on board. I'm a movie guy too. I mean, I do have a Star Wars tattoo, for God's sake, around my forearm. But I'm also more of a music audiophile than Jamie is, just a bit more. Now,
yeah.
With your background being very music-based, I think you will enjoy this. So,
okay,
you're going to be on a desert island. On the desert island is a player, record player, music player of some sort. And it is going to play one album that you get to choose continuously throughout the year, just on repeat, over and over and over and over and over again. You get to choose what that album is. You also get the joy of once a year, you get to listen to a second album once through. So the only music you get to hear and consume you have one album that's continuously running all the time, and one album you get to listen to once a year. What are those albums? And we'll give you ours while you're thinking, so... Mine was simple. I chose probably one of the album that I've listened to probably the most in my life, which is Rage Against the Machine 1. Rage self-titled, on repeat throughout the year. And then once a year, I want to mix it up. I want to get a little more old school. So I said, let's do Zeppelin 4. Jamie, what were yours?
Mine was on repeat all the time was Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. I'm a big Pink Floyd guy. I feel like that one's the most mellow out of the ones. Like, I feel I could handle that one. And then I figured since I'm listening to Pink Floyd, I need something to lift my spirits to make me laugh. So I picked Steel Panthers, Feel the Steel, once a year.
You definitely went in the same kind of manner that Walter did. It's like, you need a juxtaposition to jolt me out of it. I kind of was like, you know, albums that I already were very partial to for past historical reasons. So a couple ways you can go here, but... What would your albums be? I know, it's impossible.
Okay. This is so hard.
It's the hard. To me, this is the hardest version that we had. You know, like, you pick three movies and like, no, this is the hard one.
So, like, I said, I was a Warped Tour kid, right? So, like, some of my favorite albums of all time are all in that area. I listen to a lot of hip hop. I listen to, like, a lot of soul. I listen to, like, a lot of R&B and stuff. So, it's like, where do I, like...
Oh, and according to Walter, pulling a compilation album is a pussy way around.
I heard that. Yeah, I don't like that.
I mean, I'm not going to stop you from doing that, but you got to put up with Walter.
So, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick with the first two that I thought of in my brain, and then I'll give you an alternate just in case.
Okay.
Because if I don't mention it, it'll hurt my soul. So my first one, the one that plays continuously, will be Circus Survives on Letting Go.
Okay.
And then the one that I listen to once a year will be an album by Boys Night Out called Trainwreck, which is a rock opera, basically about a it's a horror movie, basically. It's about a man who murders his wife in his sleep, and then has this song continuously play in his head that makes him murder people. So it's like it's very
love that.
Yeah, it's very cool. But the other, my other alternate would be any MF Doom album, I'm pretty sure. So okay. Most likely Mad Villainy or Food.
Cool.
But yeah, that's, I would so have hard, to like,
right? It's like, you have to, it's, yeah, like, it's, I like, won't like, hear God, any, yeah, you so take the game, man. It's like, hard. So I won't hear anything else again. I'll never hear any yeah. other, you know, like, well, I'll never get to hear Rancid if I don't choose a Rancid album. I'll never get to hear, you know, whatever it may be, right? It's like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, that's so hard because, like, I literally thought of like five or six of my favorite albums. I'm just like, just throw something out there.
Yeah.
I had to put the Circus Survive one in there because that's one when I saw it. At the time, I was only like a pop punk kid. And then when I saw them play live, I was like, your mind just exploded. And now you are into experimental prog rock, you know, like like became that, like, that was that moment where I saw them play and I was like, your life just changed.
That's also why I went back to be safe, was my opinion, yeah. Because, you know, the stuff that I'm listening to now, you know, it's great and all, and I've gotten really big into a lot of, like, post-hardcore and shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
Months ago, finally went back to my first concert post-pandemic. It was Veil of Maya and Dance Gavin Dance. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Veil of Maya and 5/6 of Dance Gavin Dance.
Dance Gavin is I know Tillian. He's the singer of Dance Gavin.
Yeah, he wasn't there. Well, he was there, but he was in the hotel sick. So they had a fill and go, which is fine, you know. So 5/6 of Dance Gavin Dance. But Veil of Maya was amazing. And
but
once again, so it's like, yeah, it's like you gotta think. One album all day, every day. One album once a year. Yee, that's tough. So
it's so hard.
Why it's an impossible game. So God.
Well, I already feel like I made a mistake.
Don't stick with it. Stick to your gun. You're good. Well, thank you for giving us some of your time, Chris. We do appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. We do appreciate you as well. If you're checking us out on YouTube, please go down below, hit that like, hit that subscribe button, leave a comment. You can always get a hold of us on Twitter at Total Spotfest. But what about you, Chris? This is your plug time. So plug away.
Okay. I got stuff to plug. One, December 17th, Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie at Blip Roasters. Another Journey Pro show. You guys are going to love it. Also, I run a gaming website and podcast called Party Invite. If you're cool people that are open-minded and you want to join a gaming community that won't make you feel stupid for not knowing everything, like, come over to Party Invite on Facebook, Discord, all those things, Twitch, twitch.tv/partyinviteshow. If you want to follow me on Facebook, go for it. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's If Rabbits Could Fly. I can't wait to see you out at shows. Thank you for all your support.
Absolutely. And of course, Journey Pro at Journey Pro KC on all the things.
Absolutely.
Announcements coming very soon. You did announce for the show at the show, so you'll probably be
this
seeing
this weekend. I'll give you something because you guys said you already knew the name of the show. So John Malta, who you guys may have seen at tabling at the last show. An incredible artist who's done stuff for Complex Magazine with AEW. He had that giant flag of Effie. He had this great little print of
The Danhausen. Yeah,
of Danhausen.
Such a good illustrator.
He will be doing our poster for Die Hard 2 is also
That's so good. I can't wait to see.
That'll be coming. And really funny how I found him as well. He lives in the West Bottoms, and he walked past while we were doing the Lemonade Park show, and he was like, "Oh my god, what the hell?" And he's like a huge wrestling fan, and so he just like took some photos like from outside, and I was like doing my Instagram creep thing that I do, that who has mentioned this show and like went through and saw everything.
Right.
And this guy popped up and I saw that he was like an illustrator, and I clicked on his stuff. I was like, oh my god, his stuff is amazing. He's done like t-shirts for Besties, or not Besties, but Best Friends, and like currently on their shop they have a John Malta t-shirt. And amazing. He's an incredible artist. He has like a children's book coming out in February. But yeah, he wanted to come table for the show. I was like, hell yeah, man. And then we just reached out to him about doing our poster for the show. So
hell yeah.
The announcement of the show and everything will be coming this weekend or Monday. So
very shortly. So keep an eye out on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, all the things. We will definitely let you guys know, keep you abreast after announcements are made. Make sure we get your tickets in early, because 17th is what it is. It's a week before Christmas. So, well, that's what we got. Jamie, anything else you want to end with?
The only last thing I wanted to ask, because we just said the impossibles. I think everybody knows that my favorite move is the Lion Tamer. What is your favorite move, sir?
Ooh.
That's really hard. I'm a big fan of flippy stuff.
Flippy spinny shit. Yes, indeed.
Flippy spinny shit is a lot of fun. Blip isn't totally conducive to that at the moment.
No.
But I have to say, like, as a kid, stuff that I really, really liked was like Xbox X Factor and the Famouser. I love the Famouser for some reason.
Famouser is a good move.
I love the Famouser too. That's a solid move.
And then like Zach, I was about to call him Zack Ryder. That's hilarious.
That's okay.
He does like an inverted. Like it's just like a backwards.
The Rough Rider.
Rough Rider.
He used to call it the Rough Rider. Now he calls it the, what does he call it now?
Not so Rough Rider.
No. the Always Ready or something like that.
No.
I don't remember. It's something like on point with his branding. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, but I don't know why I like those moves so much. But I'm a huge fan of submissions, like especially if they're really gross looking. Tay Conti was doing one before she went on this run of being like very popular. She was doing one where she like wrapped her leg around the person's like throat and then like pulled back on her leg.
Oh, I do remember seeing that. Yeah, she did that like at the start of the pandemic, and then when she was kind of fun. It looked really.
I think it's the same thing that Carmella does.
It's a
similar.
It's a Goo Goo Plata.
Yeah, except hers has an arm hold where Carmella is only doing the leg thing with it.
Yeah, so but that
a different angle where you get a little more grip and sit back.
That maneuver that she did, she finished Red Velvet like that, and a couple other people like that made me love Tay Conti. She became like my favorite AEW girl. she's still amazing, but just so doing good. A DDT now, I'm just like, give me the fun jujitsu stuff.
Yeah, we were talking about this before her title match. It's like the DD, the DD Tay or whatever they call it, it's fine.
DD Tay.
Kind of the Tay KO, which does like basically the flipping spin around. She has them on their back and basically flips them around, gives them a high knee. It's a variant of a go to sleep, really, is what it is.
They just have too many go to sleeps in the company right now.
I mean, it looks better than that. My favorite move, Jamie won't shut up about Lion Tamers. I actually made him a t-shirt design just because for that sole reason, right? So he's a big submission guy. I dig a submission, but I'm more flippy spinny shit. My favorite move is definitely, probably without fail, I would say Spanish Fly. Whether it's a standing Spanish Fly, an avalanche Spanish Fly, I don't give a shit. I just love
it. So you're a big Sammy Guevara guy.
Sammy Guevara does a fantastic one. Alan Angels does a standing Spanish Fly. That's pretty good.
That was very good as
I
well.
I really like Cameron Grimes before they really shot him down character-wise.
Boom!
To the moon!
I love that. I fucking love that character. And I love that he is like an incredible professional wrestler.
Oh yeah, because
he is a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, and I love his Spanish Fly variant is good because it's one of those like out of nowhere off the ropes running Spanish Fly. It looks so good. So,
I'm a sucker for really good moves. It doesn't really matter if it's
that's fair.
Standing top rope flippy doesn't matter if it looks awesome. I'm gonna be into it.
Yep.
Yes.
So. Well, that's what we got. We're gonna continue to mark out here a little bit, but we'll let you guys get back to your day. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Join us again Thursday for our regularly scheduled program. I'll have links for everything Chris mentioned down below there. Please go follow him. Check him out. Check out Journey Pro, JourneyProKC.com, Journey to Anarchy on Twitch, all the things. Like I said, links down below. We will see you guys next time. Chris, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you guys for supporting Journey Pro so much. Thank you.
All right, Jamie, take us home, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down to Total Spot Fest, I have 7 words for you. Yeah, it's a lot. Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
That's actually 8, but thank you guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.